This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. This is a powerhouse time of prayer on a powerful day. Feast of the Annunciation, you know, and let's really call upon the Mother of Mercy, Our Lady, in a special way today. Let's call upon those saints. We call upon Dismas today and all the angels and saints to intercede for us. All right. And I really do want to pray for you in a big time way. And thank you. I want to send out an acknowledgement to everyone who sent me their answered prayers. I asked you, hey, if God's worked a miracle in your life as a result of us praying the chaplet here, write to me. I had over half a dozen answered prayers coming yesterday. So thanks for doing that, all right, because they help build my faith, and I know it builds the faith of so many others. And you can do that anytime. Drew@relevantradio.com or some of your petitions there, too. I'm always remembering you in prayer. I mean, just you're a part of my daily life now, so. You don't even have to ask for prayer. You're going to be covered. All right. I'm in the studio with Suzanne, my colleague here, who's the voice on the weekends, right, of the Rosary.
Right.
Karen does during the week, and
yep.
You're in the front desk and
yep.
answering lots of emails.
Yes.
It's great to have you here. Anything you want
Thank
to pray
you.
For?
I would just like to pray for a coworker whose mom just passed away and just lift up intentions for him and his whole family during this difficult time.
All right, good prayers. Suzanne, I got an email with your name in it, so let me share it with you here. This came in. Hey, Drew, hopefully I'll be able to call in today. It's the 25th. Is he online? All right, then I won't share the email. I'll wait, and we'll get him on the chaplet then. All right, that's good. I just saw this pop in. Is his name Alan? Alan's there. All right, Alan, we'll get you on the air. So often I like to share answered prayers and petitions, and we can go ahead and do that as well. But a person writes to me here, Karen says, hey, Drew, about 6 weeks ago, I emailed you regarding my sister-in-law. She was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. Back in October, 6 weeks ago, she had a stem cell transplant. Last Friday, she was declared in remission. I just want to praise God. She's doing great. And the reason is I know it's because of all the prayers, especially the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, which I have said several times a day for her, and at the 3 o'clock Power Hour with you each day. Thank you for your ministry. I'm looking forward to reading your book. Blessing, Catherine. Karen, thank you. And by the way, I do the same thing. I pray the rosary every day, but I also pray the chaplet. And I know one time Faustina was facing a very difficult situation, and she had to pray for this intention. And she just prayed the chaplet over and over again, unceasingly. I think it was for several hours. And God was so moved by the prayer he heard, he answered her prayer. And I do the same thing sometimes. I'll do a novena of chaplets. I'll do 9 of them. And I'd encourage you, be persistent in your prayer. Be faithful, and we'll see what God has in store for you. But I'll tell you, let's pray now, and we'll share. One final thing, too, before we pray. The book, I just want to let you know, I know I've spoken to you a million times about this. Next week's Holy Week, I'm probably not going to be mentioning it very much. And then the week after, that's it. We're getting up to the Feast of Mercy, and I'll get you up to speed on that. But please share the word that this book is available because it's free, and we'll even ship it to you. No handling charges, no shipping charges, no printing charges. It's absolutely, totally 1,000% free. But please introduce people to God's mercy, okay? Would you do that? Please do that. And if you haven't signed up for the book, please do. Have your kids, have your colleagues, have your, the person you work out with, have whoever's the person you bump it into the store. Say, hey, you want a great read? Go to relevantradio.com. Just sign up. It's free. You'll be off in 15 seconds. And when the book comes from the printer, and it's just about, getting ready to be shipped, it's at the printer right now. I don't know when it'll reach your doorstep, but, you'll have a nice surprise that day. And then let me know what you think. And if you don't like it, just pray for me. All right? Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus. With the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from College Station, Texas. Debbie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you so much. My oldest son made it through to the second round of trying to get a position with a well-known Catholic organization that I won't mention.
Okay.
One of seven, applying for three positions, and he would be a great fit. He was born on the Feast of Giambiani, and my husband dedicated him in the delivery room to God.
Wow, how beautiful.
And as I was worried about him and praying about this position, I prayed to God to give me a sign. I opened my Magnificat. And God, it was amazing. He said, he showed me, the thing I looked to was, let us be anxious for nothing, but in all things make our petitions to God. So I know that God has this all covered.
Amen.
But a few extra prayers are not going to hurt that he can get one of those three positions, because it would be a very good fit for him.
I'm with you. I love it, Debbie. You know, let's pray. And a few extra prayers never can hurt. I'm with you on that. And, you know, you've dedicated your son to God. I love it. My wife and I did the same thing to our children. Not in the delivery room, but we said a 54-day rosary novena while they were in utero. So while they were in the womb, we prayed and consecrated them to the Mother of God. And, you know, when you entrust your child to God, God honors that. And I know the Lord's got something in store for your son. So, Lord, I pray for this employment. If this is the right job for him, what a beautiful opportunity to work for a Catholic organization. And I just ask you, open that door, that this final interview or the interviews he still may have to navigate, that he will shine in a special way, and that those who make the decisions will be drawn to him. But if not, then make it very clear. Give him an even better position. Bless his mother for her faith, and bless all those right now who are concerned with their children. And I love your faith, because it really is true. St. Faustina one time walked into the chapel, and the Lord spoke to her. She saw the Eucharist. And he says, what you see in reality, souls must see through faith. And he goes, how pleasing to me is great faith. So let's have faith today. That's kind of the theme that is running through this show. Let's have faith today that God is hearing our prayers, and he's going to bring good out of our situations, and that there are good answers waiting for us in the future. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Carolyn is listening in La Palma, California. Hi, Carolyn. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. How are you, Drew?
I'm well. Thank you. Thanks for praying with me.
First of all, I want to thank you for all your beautiful work, increasing people's, I'm nervous over the phone, but
no,
anyway,
it's fine.
And you help people to really have a lot of faith.
Yeah.
But anyway, my biggest prayer is that my children come back to the Catholic Church and get them baptized and everything that they should. I raised them all, you know, both of them in Catholic Church and all the way up through college, and you know,
yeah.
And then they left. But anyway, that's uppermost in my mind. And all for His name is Mario, a friend of my son who moved to Texas, and works with him, and he's in the hospital with a very bad COVID, yeah. You know, and he's only 37 years old. He has four children. So my son called to ask me for prayers for him, and so I keep that also in my prayers and tuck that in there because that's going to be rough for them.
Let's pray for him now. And for his family, and let's pray for your children. How many children do you have, Carolyn?
Two. They're adults with children.
Yeah, no.
Also, you know.
Well, you know what? Your prayers, I want you to know, God hears. All right, I really want you to know that. The one prayer I'm so convinced of is the prayer of conversion. I just absolutely believe it. Like, I have five kids. I raised them all in the faith. We all went to Mass together, had confession together, prayed the rosary, you know, had prayers before bed and dinner, whatever. The culture is a very powerful place, and the tug on your children is fierce. Satan, you know, Satan's at work. But the prayer of conversion is one that is always heard, the Lord told St. Faustina. It certainly is. Faustina one time was given this interior experience with God, and she was praying. She immersed herself in prayer. She united herself with all the masses that were being celebrated around the world in the time, and she begged God, for the sake of those holy masses, to have mercy on the world, especially for those who are in need of conversion, especially those dying in that moment. The Lord told her, he said to her, she received this interior experience where God said that 1,000 souls had received the grace through that prayerful meditation that she had offered. And we don't know the number of souls that is ours to save through our prayers and sacrifices, right? We don't know it. So pray for everyone. I pray for your children. Pray for mine. Let's pray for those most in need of God's mercy. But know that your prayers are heard by God. He's pleased by it. And the prayer of conversion is one of those prayers that he always hears and he always answers. So, Lord, I don't know what your time is, but I trust in you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Alan. This is probably for you, Susie Q. Alan, Wheaton, Illinois, how are you?
Hey, I'll Scott. Suzanne, well, first of all, I'll get to that in a second. Drew, I've been praying a chaplet for, I don't know, years or whatever, and it's only because of the chaplet that my cancer was removed successfully on March 4th, 3 weeks ago today.
That's great.
And you are instrumental in that, and so are the people at Relevant Radio. But I've got kind of a pen pal up there in Green Bay. Her name is Suzanne. And she, on the day of my surgery, I'm going to cry. The day of my surgery, she prayed for me on the chaplet and at 7 o'clock with Father Rocky, and I don't know how to thank her. And you guys know, I shouldn't be crying, but I'm sorry. It's powerful. My cancer is cured, The thing is, the miracle wasn't the curing of the cancer. It was realizing how many people are involved in it. How many people prayed for me and the doctors, and it's really more the people who prayed.
Yep.
It's not the technology. So that's my thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you. And it was my honor to pray for you.
That's awesome. Alan, thank you for that. I mean, we'll continue to pray for your healing and for your protection and for all the intentions you have in your heart. But let's lift up cancer right now. I know a lot of people have loved ones that are struggling with it. And Lord, I just thank you for the way you heal. Sometimes it's miraculously, sometimes it's through treatment or through medicine. And we thank you for that. I thank you for Alan and for all those who recognize the power of prayer and your presence in their life. So I pray for those who really have struggles with their faith today, with their trust. I pray for those who are facing impossible situations. I pray for those battling cancer. And Lord, we do give you thanks for your mercy and for your love. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Richard, listening to us in Plainfield, Illinois. Good afternoon, Richard.
Drew, thank you for taking my call.
I
come from a big Irish family. I'm number 7 out of boys, and there's a girl. And my everybody, I got a phone call from my sister yesterday, a Tuesday, and her and I were the last ones to be Catholic. And she says she's leaving the parish, and she's leaving Catholicism. And I just want prayers for her because this is just unacceptable. I don't know what's gotten into her.
Well, you came to the right place, Richard. Let's pray right now for her, okay? I know you probably have a lot of intentions, but let's pray for Mary, who wants to leave the church. You know, I was just thinking as you were saying that, I mean, there's a diary entry. It's diary entry 1128. It's Sister Faustina's diary, and there she writes that the chaplet, she says, is a wonderful prayer just to invoke God's help for any intention, any. And I know the one that is always heard is conversion. And the Lord also said to her, sometimes sacrifice is necessary. I want to invite you to maybe sacrifice or fast for the conversion of your sister. I know how close you are to her. But the Lord also said, I think it was diary entry 1397 or somewhere in that range, he says, the loss of souls plunges me into mortal sadness. That's what he said to Faustina. Souls who leave the church, those who reject him. He says, but you always console me when you pray for these souls. For the prayer most pleasing to me is the prayer for conversion of sinners, for those, you know, who reject him. So let's pray right now. He says in diary entry 1397, he says, my daughter, no, this prayer is always heard and answered. Why? Because it's compatible with God's will. I believe that. So Lord, I pray for the conversion of Mary. I pray for the conversion of all of our loved ones, our spouses, our children, our parents, our siblings, whoever it may be. Lord, but especially that soul today, right now, that most needs these prayers, we turn to you, invoking your mercy, standing on your promise, standing on your word as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call. I'm sorry, Jake. Pat, listening to us in New Jersey. Hi, Pat. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I used to talk to your dad 30 years ago and your mom.
That's awesome.
And they were wonderful to me. And when I had a problem, your dad was so sweet.
That's awesome.
I just like to pray for a reconciliation of my family. There's a lot of problems in it. But you had wonderful, wonderful parents. I can't tell you how
much
I enjoyed it. Okay.
Pat, God bless you. I'll pray for you. My wife and I will pray for you, too, because I feel connection to you. I mean, my father, after being a professional broadcaster for years, converted and started to use his own talents to spread the word of God. And he did a radio program that was faith-based after his conversion. I never wanted anything to do with it. I thought, it's the last thing I want to do. And here I sit today. And Pat, who you know, knew them very well. Yeah, I miss both of them very much, and I'm grateful. We'll call upon their intercession. And Pat, I'm going to pray for reconciliation right now, okay? This is another prayer I know God wants He wants to answer. And Lord, I pray for miracles today. I beg you on the Feast of this Annunciation. Right now, Mother of Mercy, intercede for Pat and for all who are crying out to you as we give you the intentions of our heart. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin, most powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Dismas,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Do you remember that Amen song from the movie Lilies of the Field?
Amen.
Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 30-second lesson on the Mass. It's such a simple word, Amen, and it seems to be exactly the same in English, German, French, Spanish, Latin, Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew. That's because it came from the Hebrew language and then followed the path of Christian evangelization throughout the world. So what does Amen mean? It means I believe everything that was just said. Can I get an Amen for that?
Amen!
A really special masses, such as the canonization of a saint in St. Peter's Square, the choir and the people sing the super-duper Amen in four-part harmony, accompanied with brass, timpani, strings, and a fitting way to conclude the Eucharistic prayer in which the extraordinary miracle of the transubstantiation just took place. You've been joining me for Lenten Lessons on the Mass. Now I'd like to invite you to join me for Mass itself at noon Central.
And join us for Class After Mass. It's The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Maria Esperanza Bianchini, a mother of five and a stigmatist, was the first to see Our Lady in Betania on March 25, 1976. Maria is the principal visionary to receive messages as Our Lady continues to appear to her frequently under the title Reconciler of Nations and Peoples.
The time has come for man to awaken in these times of great calamities in the world. The apparition of my mother is a call to all human beings in order to reconcile all nations.
They represent a call to restoration and a deeper penetration of the Catholic faith. A call to prayer for the church, priests, the conversion of sinners, and for peace in the world. Encouragement for more frequent reception of the sacraments, and a call for solidarity, responding to charity and social justice issues, especially with the poor and needy.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was Ricardo Montalban. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you know who he was. If you remember, yes, Patrick A. Log, you're right. He was on Fantasy Island. I had him do the voiceover work for a documentary I did years ago. And he did a... he also did this commercial for leather or something, for some car. And so he used to say, rich Corinthian leather. I actually had him say that to me. I thought about that later. I was only in my early 20s. Like, what the heck is the matter with you? That guy must hate that. You know, I had to fly out to L.A. and we went into some recording studio and he did the voiceover work. But his delivery was unbelievable. He's a very devout Catholic too, this guy. Very devout Catholic. And just an unbelievable talent. What a great loss. I'm sure he's got a special place in heaven. But he voiced the track for a documentary did years ago. I mean, I look at it now, the animation, and it's so hokey because it's 30-some years old. But it was a film called Marian Apparitions of the 20th Century. And in that, you heard him talking about a site in Venezuela, a place called Betania, Venezuela. It was on this day, March 25th, the Feast of the Annunciation, that the Mother of God appeared there, and she appeared to the masses. I'll tell you a little bit about the story. And the reason I thought I'd tell you about this, yeah, I mean, if you've been there, I'd love to hear your experience too. It seems that the blessed, this is such a powerful day, the Annunciation. It's the anniversary of my consecration, but it was on this day, on March 25th, in Lourdes, France, that Our Lady announced that she was the Immaculate Conception. It was on this day that many of the church fathers believe that Christ was crucified, that this was the day of Calvary. It was this day that the Virgin Mary, 9 days from Christmas, of course, that Angel Gabriel appeared to her, and she gave her yes. It was on this day that we celebrate the great feast of St. Dismas. But it's also on this day that there were a lot of other apparitions. A friend of mine who I was mentioning a little bit earlier in the show, he says, and he follows this stuff intimately, he says, it seems that heaven really loves to appear on the 25th, on the Annunciation, for some reason. And there was an apparition in Cairo, Egypt, that took place on this day as well. It received the approval of the head of the Orthodox Church there. And it was on March 25th, 1986, that the Virgin Mary began appearing on top of a church, very similar to what she did in Zaytun, Egypt. And eyewitnesses saw this light shine in their houses, and they didn't know where it was coming from. They looked up. There's the Virgin Mary. She was visible, her full body surrounded by a halo of light, you know, and she was there above this dome. And these visions occurred multiple times in these very narrow, overcrowded streets. People would come out, thousands of them, overnight for vigils. They would pray. They would sing doxologies. They would... bring the sick. In fact, there have been several miracles that took place. One of the miracles that took place with this apparition in Cairo, a six-year-old who injured her eye, she damaged her cornea and the eye lens, was unable to see, basically using the eye. It got pierced by a needle. I don't know all the details about what happened. But her mother brought her there, and this girl received a miracle. As I said, His Holiness Pope Shenouda III, who's, you know, in the Orthodox Church there, ordered an investigation and gave a papal order to form the special committee and found it to be authentic. So pretty cool. But the apparition that amazed me the most, see, Zaytun is one of those. In 1968, the Virgin Mary appears, right? And she appears to the just like this one here in Cairo in 86, where she's visible to the masses. If you were there, you would see her. If you were there, you would see the Mother of God. And you're thinking, no way, right? Three places in the world that I'm aware this took place. One, Zaytun, 1968 and 86 in Cairo. In Soviet Ukraine, during the time of the Soviet occupation, when communism was raging, atheistic communism was dominating, and you were not allowed to have open-air mass. You weren't allowed to have mass, period. And I have footage in this documentary I did of people literally cowering or hiding, having hidden masses. But quite often they'd go out into the woods and they would have these masses in these open fields. The faithful would gather, risk of being caught or somehow, you know, arrested for doing that. And on a number of occasions, the Virgin Mary would appear in the Ukraine, visible for all to see. I mean, they would see her as a towering figure. In fact, some of the Soviet officials who came to break up these gatherings witnessed her as well. I guess Manila was another one where when the Marcos regime was oppressing the people there, people had a rosary rally. They took the rosary to the streets, and he wanted the troops to fire on the people. the eyewitnesses, Cardinal Sin reported this, I believe. I remember Dr. Mirabali sharing the story with me, saying that the guards saw a towering woman. They saw the Mother of God, and they refused to fire on the people. So there are times where God allows us, but there's one site more than any other that this, and this is church approved. The place is called Betania, Venezuela. As you know, right now, Venezuela is in free fall. When I was filming down there back in the 1990s, you know, it was the fifth largest oil exporter in the world. Caracas was an incredible city. I mean, just beautiful. I mean, it was an enchanted land. Angel Falls is there. You know, it's just such an incredible place. Well, there is a young woman. Her name is Maria Esperanza Medrano de Bianchini. She is she's a mystic like Padre Pio. In fact, Pio was her spiritual director at one point in time. And she had these preternatural gifts ever since she was a young child. She had an apparition of St. Therese of Lisieux, and St. Therese threw her a rose. And when she went to catch it, it pricked her hand. And it was a portent of things to come, because Maria Esperanza would become a stigmatic. She would actually have the wounds of Christ. And every Holy Week, her hands would form these horrible contusions. And then on Good Friday, they would erupt in this bloody eruption where she would suffer the passion of the Lord. Competent eyewitnesses have seen this. There were physicians there that had experience as well. But as a little girl, she would go to the hospital with her mother, and she would know what was wrong with people and tell the doctor, and they had no idea how that would happen. She'd pray they'd be healed. She eventually went to Italy. She thought about entering religious life, but God had a different destiny. She got married, had, I think, seven children in the end. And they moved to Betania, where the Virgin said she would come. She says, "You will find a place with a spring, and it is here that I will appear." And she told her that, I think, like the 1950s. Well, in 1976, it was in February, Maria Esperanza and her mother, they returned to Venezuela. And on, I think it was March 25th, I think 1976, if I recall correctly. I know in 84 was the big apparition. Maria began having visions. Our Lady began coming to her under a title that I love. She came under the title Reconciler of Peoples and Nations. That's how the Virgin came. And it was a private apparition, 1976. He's just like Lourdes, like Fatima, like so many other places, only Maria Esperanza would see the Mother of God. And it was the onset of apparitions and miracles. In many cases, they were well witnessed by physicians, by generals in the army, etc. So that, you know, people kept coming back every year for the anniversary. So on March 25th, 1984, now listen to this. This is the same day that John Paul II fulfills the request of Our Lady in Fatima. He consecrates the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It was on this day that the Virgin Mary appeared to Maria Esperanza in Betania. And everybody that was present saw her. She appeared seven different times. There was a general in the army. There were physicians that were there. There were servants that were there. There were all sorts of people. And she appeared under many different titles. The sun pulsed like it did at Fatima. There were strange white forms. There was this grotto where the Virgin would appear upon. And thousands, I mean, hundreds of people this day saw her. Actually, you know, this apparition was actually investigated. And Bishop Pio Bello Ricardo, who was the local ordinary there, he investigated this. He was a trained psychologist. He had a tendency towards skepticism. He interviewed several hundred eyewitnesses, including a lawyer, an atheist, a doctor, the general. And he formally approved this apparition. He sent it off to Rome. And in all, the bishop took about 550 formal written statements. And he concluded that the events that took place there were of supernatural origin. And it was even there that a Eucharistic miracle took place. But I was in Africa filming the last apparition of Alphonsine Mumuriki, you know, in Kibeho, Rwanda, before the genocide. And I met a Mariologist who said, "You've got to go to Betania. If you're doing a documentary on these apparitions, you've got to go to Betania." And when I went down to Betania, I met this mystic. I met Maria Esperanza. And she saw me. She knew everything about me. She had this ability to read souls. She knew at the time, I wasn't married at the time. I was dating my future wife. She knew everything about my wife. She knew everything about her. She knew my father, who was at the time drinking. He was struggling with his alcoholism and his gambling. She knew that he had a heart problem. He'd go on to have a heart attack. She prophesied that. A whole litany of things that this woman did. And she blew me away, literally, the first time. And I went to Betania that day, that trip with my camera crew. And we were present for a couple apparitions. I did not see her that time. I did not get to see her during those particular apparitions. And Father René Laurentin, who is one of the world's foremost Mariologist at the time, he said to me, sometimes the apparitions are not for the camera nor for your eyes. And I thought, well, that's true. There was another encounter in the future. I won't tell you about it now. That's a story for another day, where I did have an opportunity to glimpse what so many people saw. But I'll tell you what happened here on that day. But first, let me go to the phones. If you want to sound off too, feel free to join me. The number here is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. If you've been there, love to hear your story. Mary is listening in Larson, Wisconsin. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yes, I was in Batania twice. And this is a hugely emotional thing for me, and I'll try and keep it really short. Mm-hmm. The first time I went, I brought a number of petitions with me. And while I was there for 4 days, I prayed with a group of people with Maria, and she told us at that time that our prayers would start to be answered the moment we left Batania or got on the plane.
Wow.
I get home, and one of my best friends at work was a former Catholic. She was away from the church, and she was very mean about my Catholic faith. But she did give me petitions to bring with me to Batania. So when I got home and went to work that first day, she called me to her desk because she was in distress.
Yeah.
And I realized that she was being healed physically and spiritually and emotionally from everything. I mean, it was just amazing to me how much she was being affected.
That's beautiful.
And what the kicker here, Drew, is that when I told her she was being healed, she said, but I didn't pray for myself. And I said, but I did.
I love it. I love it. But I also love that selflessness. I often think when we pray for others, it's like praying for ourselves. You know, I mean, God is a generous God, and he can't be outdone, that's for sure. So, Mary, when were you there? What years did you go to Batania? I'm curious.
Oh, 1997.
So you were there pretty early.
And
yeah, that's
98.
Great. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And Maria has been called home.
She was an amazing woman.
She was.
I consider her my spiritual mother.
Yeah. She made everybody feel that way. It was one of her great charisms. It really was. Yeah. I had the great privilege of traveling with her to Israel and to Italy, and spent many a day in her home with her family. And I was one of the first Americans. In fact, I think I was the first one to come down there. And I actually brought the message back. I put it in a documentary I did on apparitions. And I was so moved by it that I actually focused on her story in particular. Because you got to realize that this apparition, was fully investigated by the local bishop. He actually flew to Rome, confided everything that was happening with this mystic and these visions to Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who was the prefect for the Sacred Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith at the time, and to the Pope himself. That was John Paul II. And, of course, he heeded the proper protocol. You know, he discerned the matter for 3 years, and then he issued an extraordinary pastoral letter declaring Batania as sacred ground, that the incidents there were authentic. They were of supernatural character. They were of a divine source. And it was one of the strongest such rulings since Fatima. 35 of Venezuela's 37 bishops and auxiliary bishops supported him. I spoke to a physician, Dr. Vincio Paz. He was a local specialist, and he estimated that there were probably thousands of healings at Batania. 10,000 had witnessed phenomena around Maria. In fact, I spoke to one physician who had cancer and was miraculously cured. In fact, when I come back, I'll share with you a story that I personally had. You know, we think about God and how we're constrained by the limits of life and time and space. These mystics like Padre Pio, who could be in two places at once, Maria Speranza had that gift. She was able to be seen levitating. She could read souls. She received the miraculous communion host and so many other things. I'll share an encounter with you. I witnessed something that defied the laws of nature, really. How can a person be in two places at once? How can this mystic be both in Venezuela on the hillside in Caracas, Venezuela, at the same time in the United States? I witnessed what clearly, I believe, was a bilocation. When I return, I'll tell you that story.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
First of all, I want to thank you for all your beautiful work, and you help people to really have a lot of faith.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I switched off all my other stations, and I tuned into Relevant Radio and started listening to all the program.
You are not alone.
Yeah, you're not alone. I'm glad to be here with you and for you to give you a look at life. Hopefully you're not going to find anywhere else. And, you know, so often I take a look at the news and the issues of the day. And of course, we always try to shine a moral perspective, a Catholic perspective on that when it comes to immigration or gun control or when it comes to COVID and vaccines, when it comes to your money. I mean, look, we're Catholic, right? I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm assuming you are as well. And if you're not, I mean, there are moral principles that we can look at these things and take the right path. With bad morality, you go down a bad path, you know, and there's a lot of suffering that follows. So I'm glad you found the show today. I just thought we'd talk a little bit about the reality of God. I mean, because he works in such profound and miraculous ways. And some of these things are hard to get your head around. I mean, you read scripture about, you know, Christ multiplying food or walking on water or raising from the dead or the many miracles that took place. You know, miracles happen today. He's given us special souls, like Padre Pio. Right, he's one of those souls, and Maria Esperanza is a mystic whose calls is now open, servant of God right now, I believe. And I met her. I spent time with her. Spent years with her. The apparitions, she received messages and visions of the Mother of God, and in the place where the Virgin would appear, it would not just be Maria who would see her, but hundreds of competent eyewitnesses saw her. And Padre Pio was actually her spiritual director, and Pio actually, you know, he once very famously told people, he says, there's going to be a young woman that's going to come from South America, he says. And he says, when I leave, she will be your consolation. And we know Pio died in 68, and we saw what happened in the days ahead. Actually, on September 23rd, 1968, Maria had a vision of Padre Pio. And he came to her and said, I'm here to say goodbye. It is your turn, he said to her. And her husband was there at the time, and he said her face transfigured. And next day they heard of the passing of Padre Pio. And true to Pio's prophecy, Maria Esperanza would soon receive the stigmata. Now, she had extraordinary gifts of the ability to read souls, like Padre Pio. She had the gift of bilocation, being in two locations at once. She had the stigmata. She carried the wounds of Christ. Her hands and feet and side would bleed on Good Friday in particular. She suffered the invisible stigmata. She received the miraculous hosts, in an ecstatic state. She would be seen by competent eyewitnesses floating off the ground in an ecstasy like St. Joseph Cupertino. I mean, and look, this is not crazy stuff. This is not people saying, oh, I saw her do this. We're talking about physicians. There was one Harvard-educated doctor who I had the opportunity to interview. His name was Dr. Vinicio Arrieta. He was a Harvard-educated physician who was actually healed of cancer. And he claims others have been cured of paralysis, liver disorders, leukemia. The litany goes on. Dr. Burgos, another physician who examined her very, very closely. So Maria Esperanza was kind of a female Padre Pio. And I remember one time, and I'll just share a quick story with you. And this is why I believe so. I think God allowed me in my previous career to have these experiences so I can come to you and say to you, look, God does exist. That situations might seem impossible, but they're really not. Not if God is on your side. And you might face those difficulties in life. We all do, where it is hard to exercise faith. But I have seen it. And I believe to whom much is given, much is required, much is expected. And that's why I'm trying to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. I want to live the faith. And when I face difficult times, I reflect on these instances. You know, God created the laws of nature, and he can certainly suspend them, right? He can do anything. He can eradicate your cancer right now. He can change your finances. He can have that court case thrown out. You know, he can remedy the impossible situation, and he can certainly do that in ways you can't even see coming, okay? Through prayer and fasting, we are told that we can find ways out of situations that have no way out. I was down in South America, and I was filming with a very secular film crew. I did most of my post-production at NFL Films in Jersey. And I was down here with these crews. I had my audio guy, lighting guy, and my camera crew. And before I left for the trip, this was like my fourth trip down, I was so smitten by Maria and by the apparitions that were taking place that a friend of mine reached out to me and said, you know, could you pray for my son? Her son was a guy who I knew. I went to school with. I think he was a couple years older than me. And he was in a car accident. He was driving his truck. He was drinking and driving. And he hit a tree. He snapped his neck. And he became a quadriplegic. And he killed the three guys that were in the car with him. And now he's locked in this prison. The prison of the wheelchair. The prison of his body. Trapped with what he did. And the mother said he was depressed. He didn't want to live. He couldn't move. His life, he was very active, athletic before. So I said, sure, I'll be more than glad to pray. So we're down there. We're on this hillside outside this beautiful home in Caracas. And we're filming. And we were shooting at the time on a type of camera where you had to change your tapes every 20 minutes, every 15 to 20 minutes. So we were in the middle of a tape change. And my camera guy says to me, hey, why don't you wrap this up? We'll take five. I got to do a tape change, put some fresh batteries on. No problem. So during the time, I said, you know, Maria, can you do me a favor? A friend of mine asked me to pray for her son. Would you mind praying for him? And I mentioned his name. And she said, sure, I will go there. I'm like, you'll go there? No, you can't go there. He's in the United States. No. I will go there. Turn the cameras off. Tell your crew to shut the camera off. And I lean back to my camera crew and I go, keep rolling. Keep rolling. So they keep rolling. And all of a sudden, Maria Esperanza goes into an ecstatic state. She goes into this ecstasy like the visionaries do when the Mother of God comes. A huge electromagnetic field. Something happened because my camera crew says in my earpiece, there's something wrong with the camera. There's something wrong. The camera went, and everything got distorted. The audio got distorted. And suddenly, Maria Esperanza is no longer with us. She is physically, but she's not. She's describing to me where she is. I see a hospital. I'm like, a hospital? Oh, yeah. That's a mile from his home. And down the road here, I see a bridge. And she's describing with the eyes of the spirit or whatever it is, his home. She's in his home. She's in his room. She's described what he had on. She described the room. She took him by the hands, and she prayed for him. And after what seemed to be maybe, I don't know, 7, 10 minutes, she comes out of this ecstatic state, collapses in exhaustion. It was draining on her body, draining on her spirit. And all of a sudden, the camera clears back up. The audio is running. Everything is fine, right? So she described what happened, and she shared a message to give to the mother, which I'll keep private. And my crew, very secular guys, they did not believe any of this. And they said, that's a bunch of BS. You know what I mean? They didn't use those words, but you can imagine what they said. So we got back to the hotel. We were getting ready for dinner. I said, look, why don't you call him? I call. We're not going to believe this. I'll let you call. And the mother describes what the son had on and what room he was in. So I called back and I said, hey, it's Drew. I know it sounds weird. I'm here in Caracas, Venezuela, in my hotel. I'm about to go to dinner. Can I ask you a question? I prayed for Stephen today. And can you just tell me what room he was in today and tell me what he was wearing? Well, the mother described in perfect detail exactly what Maria said he had on. And exactly the room that he was in. Now, this young man was not cured of his paralysis, as some people might think. No, he did make marked improvement. He began to gain some mobility, but never got out of the wheelchair. As far as I know, I don't know a whole lot about him. But I can only think that so often we look for physical healings when we really need internal healings, the deep woundedness of what he did, the depression, the anxiety, the trauma, the suicidal thoughts that he must have had of not wanting to live anymore. Maria went, she bilocated to his side and came back. Well, these guys were shocked by what they saw, to say the least. But it spoke to me a powerful lesson that, yes, I've seen food multiply. I've seen inanimate objects like statues weep tears and tears of blood. I've been present in the jungles of Africa when the Mother of God appears to seers before the eruption of a genocide. I've been with a mystic who could read my soul and bilocate like Padre Pio. And I think God permitted that for me so I can say to you today, especially if you're in a tough time, pray all the more, okay? Because God does exist. He's an intimate part of your life. He wants you to have faith. It's part of the great test of this life. He wants you to have trust. It's part of the great journey called life. How you pass these tests, you know, how you rise above the anxiety and the fear, how you walk with the Lord has profound impact, not just on the temporal, but on the eternal. On your eternity. And I cannot stress that enough. And you know, as I said, I'm going to be held to, I think, a very high standard when I stand before God, when I doubt, when I lack to exercise my faith or my trust. But today, I invite you to do that. I really do. I invite you to do that. So Tom's in Fort Myers, Florida. Fran in New York. Paula in Coon Rapids. Tom went to Batania. I would have loved to heard his story. But I got to take a quick break. I've got to take a break. When we come back, Maybe I'll grab a call or two if I can. But I also want to talk about something else that happened on this day, March 25th, the Feast of the Annunciation. John Paul did something to fulfill the Fatima message. We'll see about that as well. So stay with me. We'll talk more when I come back. You're welcome to join me anytime here, too. 888-914-9149. We'll be back with more right after this.